Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Spiegel and Parkin Show.
Steven Strasburg now likely to start for the Nats today in Game 4.
Oh, wow.
Of course.
Shamed into
it. Swings at a changeup, strike three.
3-2 to Rizzo.
Swing and a miss, strike three.
We should encourage people to wear the surgical masks to Wrigley to mock the mold count.
Take strike three, call. 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss.
Strikeout, 2-3.
Swing and a miss, strike three. Strasburg strikes out the side.
$175 million contract, and you're still kowtowing to this little pampered dude.
Rizzo chokes up. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's to Zobra. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Russell swings and misses. Strike three. That strikes out the side again.
Steven, how are you going to attack the Cubs today?
I'm going to do my best.
Bryant strikes out swinging, and he strikes out Chris Bryant swinging for the third consecutive time.
Are you concerned about the conditions today?
Just going to take it one pitch at a time.
Swing and a miss, strike three on another changeup. Russell swings and misses, strike three. Swing and a miss, strike three. 12 strikeouts for Strasburg.
Matt Spiegel. Danny Parkins. Middays on the Score.
Uh-oh! Strasburg. Newman.
That was unfortunate.
He's pretty good.
He wins. Steven Strasburg is the winner. He beat us, beat the Cubs. We all look a little bit silly.
No.
And so it goes. No. So it goes.
That's fine. 312-644-6767.
Feel free
to talk to us.
It's your fault, Danny.
Oh, sure.
It's my fault.
Sure.
It's that small town hick radio from 9 to 1 yesterday.
Oh, my God.
That is thoroughly to blame for Steven Strasburg, man. You know, that dude's reputation is not the toast that I thought it was mere 24 hours ago. That is a career-defining moment for Steven Strasburg.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's all right.
Pretty good pitcher.
He's okay. Good guy.
Just throwing 89-mile-an-hour changeups that are buckling 12 to 14 inches. Like, just absolutely ridiculous.
And he's had that stuff. We knew he had the stuff. Whatever it was, whether it was his delicate nature, his precious routine, his sniffles, or the mold, he gets a flu game. This is his Jordan flu game. He's got that on the resume for a long, long, long time.
I mean,
yeah.
No.
I mean, there's a longer postseason to go, and he can still fail and redefine and everything. Well, but
I'm not putting him in Mike territory.
He's got that game, though.
He's got a great game. It's a great game. It was ideal pitching conditions, and the Cubs couldn't string together hits. And then Wade Davis gives up a grand slam to Taylor. I got to be honest, I didn't see that one coming in those conditions.
Oh,
opposite
no.
field.
Oh, no.
Weird game. Weird game to be at. Lots, obviously, to dissect. But
yeah, maybe I'll put aside my Wade Davis, Mariano Rivera numbers from the other day.
Just hang on to those.
Might want to slide those over.
Slide them to the side.
They got bullpen issues short-term and long-term.
Yeah.
Big stuff to figure out.
More interested, obviously, in the short-term.
Of course.
And now baseball becomes what it is in the playoffs. Very cruel. 166 games comes down to one road game, and you've got Kyle Hendricks, and you're a slight favorite, and you should be.
I hope that road game is at a Bed Bath & Beyond in the burbs, by the way, because I've learned that's an excellent stop if need be. But continue.
No problem. It's, you know, I feel good about them as much as you can possibly feel good about the fact that 166 games comes down to one, because I have all of the confidence in the world in Kyle Hendricks.
Good matchup tonight.
But it's a coin flip.
Good matchup tonight. You better get to Gio Gonzalez before Max Scherzer comes in.
Right, he gave up 3 hits in game 2, but 2 of them were home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Contreras hit the solo shot, and Rizzo hit the 2-run shot off of Gio. So, yeah, but Scherzer's obviously available, and They're at a disadvantage if they advance because they used Lester yesterday. They'll use Hendricks tonight. Maybe use Quintana out of the pen tonight.
John Lackey, your game one NLCS starter.
Great. If they need Quintana tonight, Lackey starts game one. If they don't need Quintana tonight, Quintana starts game one and John Lackey starts game two.
There's a lot of stuff to talk about and figure out. And I wouldn't rule out John Lester, by the way, from that game two if we are to get there, because that was...
I would completely rule it out.
Yeah, no, yesterday, that was a side day for John Lester. That's the side day. Boy, there's a lot to figure out, a lot to discuss, and a lot to dissect. All hail Strasburg, who is the third guy to strike out at least 10 twice in any division series. Verlander did it in 2012 and 2013, and Cliff Lee in 2010. So it's Strasburg's day. And then you get to the other stuff. I don't know how much you had a problem with Madden's moves yesterday. I was not upset to see Lester because it was his side day and he's not your game five starting pitcher. So it's not like you burned your possible starting pitcher for today. You've still got Hendricks and Quintana to follow that up. Seeing Lester come out after 55 pitches, look, a normal side day for a starter is 35 to 40 pitches. This was 55 high pressure pitches. He goes to the bullpen with two outs, should be able to get four outs. Carl Edwards Jr. to this point is one up, one down. To that point yesterday was one up, one down. Now he's two down. How do you trust him again in this postseason?
Well, the thing about the Lester about the Lester decision is he did his job, and it tells you very clearly that Joe doesn't trust anyone in his bullpen other than Wade Davis and Carl Edwards, and now. How much can you trust Edwards? And then Davis has the blemish of the Grand Slam. Obviously, you have to go to him. Yesterday, the only thing that I questioned about the Lester decision, I loved that they're only down one and you're keeping the game and it's his side
that's
day.
Why it's not Montgomery.
Right. I loved all that. The only thing I would say is that I think that was such an ideal day for pitching for anybody.
That
Montgomery could have done it.
The pitcher's paradise, as Joe described.
Exactly. It's 15 to 20 miles an hour of wind blowing in. It's below 60 degrees. Runs are coming at a premium. So, but again, the desperation of let's hold him to one. Let's get a win. Let's get out of here. Let's have an extra day off before the NLCS. When, like you said, Lester isn't starting game five. I don't have a problem with that. I thought it was weird because he was late to get Wade Davis up that Carl Edwards went to a 1-0 count on Turner before bringing Wade Davis in.
For sure.
Like that I obviously have a problem with it. I don't know how you could not have a problem
with it.
Look,
if you're making decisions based on the 1-0 margin, then when Carl Edwards comes in and he walks the first guy, Davis should have already been up and Davis should have been ready to come in, and you could have, I would have pulled Carl Edwards after walk number one.
You could certainly make that argument. And then, that would be the hyper aggressive way of going about it. Amen. But then Edwards ends up giving up a grand slam. We can't forget that.
Davis does. Yeah.
Yeah. Davis gives. Yeah. Sorry.
But the bases are loaded. Then look, if you're hyper aggressive to the point that you're bringing in John Lester, which I'm okay with, then you better be hyper aggressive in pulling a bullpen guy after he shows he doesn't have it. Edwards presents massive issues.
But also just think about it. I mean, Strope now is giving up the run. Edwards, three appearances, two bad, one good. Wade Davis now with a really bad appearance. And have we seen anybody else?
Dunsing yesterday afterwards.
Okay, after,
Justin Wilson finally down five runs.
Down five runs. But in terms
I told you that was the only circumstance where Justin Williams
but
could go.
Wilson, in terms of like guys that you actually trust, if you're Joe Maddon, what's the list?
That's why you have problems short-term and long-term. Look, I thought Joe should have pulled Edwards as soon as he walked the first guy and had Davis ready, that's for sure. And I wouldn't have let Edwards throw a pitch to Michael Taylor after when he walks Wieters, it's clear he's in chaos because that's not a dude you should be pitching afraid of even at all. But so tonight, what do you do? Pedro Strop for extended use before Davis? Who
Quintana.
Is
Quintana?
Well, yeah. But if you need a second, if you need a righty before Davis, I can't throw Edwards tonight. Now I'm not Joe to fall out of trust. Remember, he fell out of trust with Strope and Rondon last year in the playoffs.
He's not falling out of trust with Edwards.
I would in this series.
I would too. I would too.
I don't want to see Carl Edwards tonight.
You could tell that on his. I don't know how much they were showing it, if it was clear on the broadcast or whatever. You could tell that he was totally guessing where the ball was going to end up. like on his follow through, it was like he was guiding the ball and he was just like kind of hoping that it would end up for a strike. Inside ball
chaos.
One, outside ball two. And it was just, he didn't know where the ball was going.
Yeah, and really his first pitch to Rendon sailed way off the way.
Yeah, he didn't know where the ball was going.
And CJ has told us some days it's like that. Some days he feels good in the bullpen, some days he comes in and he's like, "Oh, I don't know where the release point is." Okay, well, I can't trust that. So that means Strope short term, and then eventually we'll have an offseason where you get to think about the long term. Who is the closer of the future? You're telling me you're going to think it's Edwards for next year? I don't want to pay Wade Davis, who is, you know, very, very good, but on the precipice of decay, if not there already, and you pay for past performance, you start looking at the free agent bullpens. Dylan Maples is going to have to get a serious look in the offseason. I wish he'd gotten a serious look in September, truth be told. But here you are, massive bullpen issues short-term and long-term.
Hit the ball.
That's for damn sure.
The organization was reticent to talk about it publicly, but they would tell you, not for attribution, they were concerned about the team's ability to hit good pitching. Home run dependent, too many strikeouts, it's the makeup of their team, and they felt like they feasted a lot late on substandard pitching that they wouldn't see in the postseason. And through four games, they are 18 for 113 with 12 walks, 8 runs scored. They are hitting 159 as a team, and the only extra base hits they had at Wrigley Field were doubles by Ben Zobrist, one each. It's not good enough. It's just not good enough. 8 runs in 4 games.
8 runs in 4 games, and you've won 2.
Yeah. There have been no hitters into the 6th and 7th, and those are the games they won. They need to hit the ball. The series is not on Joe Maddon. It's not on any one decision. It's not. They have to hit the ball. You have to score more than 2 runs a game in order to advance in the postseason, period.
And Carl Edwards is 2 up and 2 down, as having pitched in all 4 games. He's 2 up and 2 down.
Right.
But yes, it's on the offense. And guess what? In a tiny little sample, like a 5-game series, it's terrifying. The Cleveland Indians are gone today.
Yep.
They're gone. The Yankees, after that 0-2 start and the Girardi debacle, claw all the way back. And D.D. freaking Gregorius is your hero last night. C.C. and D.D. for the Yankees. The Indians, the everybody's favorite, are gone. I like the Cubs' chances tonight with Kyle Hendricks and that low blood pressure and at least 4 to 5 innings against Gio Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Right?
55-45. 60-40. That's it, though.
For Cubs?
Yeah, for Cubs. That's it.
Yeah.
You're on the road. They're feeling confident. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You could argue 50-50.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the odds are slightly in their favorite. I like their starting pitching advantage, but they've got Scherzer coming out of the pen.
But when? See, here's the thing. This is the insane irony for me, is that after living through all the Dusty Baker and seeing him completely outmanaged by Jack McKeon in the early days of, in terms of this era, of starting pitchers out of the bullpen, The Cubs are going against Dusty Baker as he attempts to manage a bullpen with Max Scherzer in it. I still hope he uses Dave Veers. I hope that Dave Veers shows up tonight instead, or, you know, Eddie Romero or Sammy Solis. I mean, seriously, is he thinking Scherzer at the end instead of his closer? He should be thinking Scherzer immediately following Gio for as long as Scherzer can give him. That's what I would do, and then get to Doolittle.
Yeah, it also depends on when Gio leaves. Does Gio leave in trouble and he needs Scherzer, or does he leave after 7 innings of 2-hit ball and they're feeling good? You know what I mean? I think it matters the situation. You want Scherzer facing the heart of the Cubs order or a bad spot early, and then you go as long with him as you can. But that might not come until the 8th inning, depending on how the Cubs hit.
Dusty, who refused to use starters in relief for so long, now has seen every manager in the game do it. So how he deploys Scherzer tonight could very well decide this series.
Let's go through the rundown of today's show. We have Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus to grade Mitch Trubisky at 10 o'clock, pick a player at 10:40, Len Casper in D.C. at 11, and Paul Ciarci, and helps you set your fantasy lineup at noon. The rundown brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com. A ton of people want to react on all things Cub. We will do it. And feel free to mock us for mocking the mold.
Yeah, it's hanging over there on the wall. I don't know who put that up on the wall.
I did.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I was pretty sure it was not the afternoon guys.
No, it was me. I like it as a reminder of a stunt well executed. And the reminder, by the way, Bryce Harper, make baseball fun again. Radio can be fun. It's okay. It's okay to not take everything so damn seriously, like a heart attack. It's sports. Laugh a little.
I personally think the legitimacy of our discourse is damaged by fun.
Ah!
Exactly.
I laughed a little making the open.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Thank you, Campy. Thank you.
Yeah, and meanwhile, guys like Soxvision 2020 keep tweeting at me about our level of embarrassment today.
Well, here's how it works. It's like, stick to sports, but don't have any fun with sports.
Right.
You have to be in this exact narrow lane.
I appreciate the attribution of power that we were the ones that deserved this, that for mocking Strasburg and the mold, that he stood up and did this in the face of us. So behold our enormous power. And I propose in the future that we only use it for good. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm fine. we'll see how it goes. With great power comes great responsibility, yeah, and I shirk that responsibility. It's Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Seemed like once we got here, you know, I got hit pretty hard with this virus, and, you know, it just seemed to suck the life out of me every single day. And, you know, they got me on antibiotics and just wasn't really working or anything. And luckily they switched it yesterday and just hoped that it would kind of kick in.
Steven Strasburg talking about the situation from yesterday. He woke up, he was feeling better. So they say, they upped his antibiotics dosage, so they say, it's not really how it works, but whatever, he's really good.
Whatever reasons that there were for him not going, he proved to you that he should have been going all along.
Yep.
That he should have been pitching.
Yep.
So he got shamed into it, he got convinced into it, he felt just good enough, he rethought it. And he felt the pressure from whatever it was. He should have been going, and that's why he should have been going. He's a remarkable pitcher. A texter says, what's so special about Strasburg's changeup? It's not like he was throwing in the upper 90s yesterday to offset it. It's true. He didn't have the velocity differential that he usually has between 97, 98, and that changeup at 89 or 90. It just looks exactly like the fastball. And his other pitches is curved too. It looks like everything. It's the pitch tunnel. Go check out the pitch tunnels. It's a good opportunity to learn some stuff. If you're pitching there and you're sitting fastball and instead it just falls apart. It's not just that it's slower, it just dies and has so much movement on it. He's got three A++ pitches that he could throw at any point in the count, and the changeup was moving filthily yesterday.
Well, that's the other part. I mean, Rollins was talking about it on the postgame show. He was like, I don't even know how to describe the movement on that thing. Like, he's throwing an 89-mile-an-hour changeup that's moving a foot over the strike zone.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even like, oh, well, I'll just, if I can spot changeup, I'm just going to not, you know, it's going to end up in the dirt or something like that. He's knee buckling you for strikes,
right,
on the lower third of the zone.
You can't sit changeup and then just like hit it because it's straight. No, it also moves
yeah,
on its own.
So it's pretty ridiculous.
Troubles.
Some of these Madden criticisms, and we'll get to calls after the update. Move Bryant down in the lineup. Like, I don't understand some of them. You know, okay. Not putting the pitching staff in the best position to win. Specifically, what would you have him do if Edwards is going to walk the world? We will criticize Joe Maddon. People are like, oh, he comes on your show. Edwards is their second best relief pitcher behind Wade Davis.
I wouldn't go to him tonight.
Fair enough. And you could say that this sample is small. Now, Edwards, after the game, not showing any sign of lacking confidence, saying, we'll see you guys in L.A.
Hey, man, you got to keep feeling it. You got to keep lying to yourself if you need to, or stay actually confident if you can. I mean, that's obviously the name of the game.
Yeah.
Moving Bryant down in the lineup, if Bryant's not going to hit, you're not going to win.
But, you should play Almora over Schwarber. Almora's great. We love Almora. Schwarber was the reason that, which one was it? What, the Scherzer got pulled in an inning earlier?
Yeah, the Scherzer's third at bat.
You know, so it's just managers don't win and lose baseball games the vast majority of the time. The overwhelming majority. They lost 5-0 yesterday. They're hitting 159 in the series. Chris Bryant set a Cubs record for strikeouts in a postseason game. What are you going to do, not play the MVP? Like, it's just, they have to hit better. They have to hit better. They're getting good enough starting pitching, and that's it. It's, I don't find it to be that complicated, personally.
No, Edwards gave up a massive home run to Bryce Harper in game number two. And if there hadn't that, then, you know, we would have been talking sweep. But there was that, and now you got these two very, very good teams in a winner-take-all game. Get to Geo in the first four or five innings. You must.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You heard it right here on The Score. You'll hear Game 5 tonight on The Score, 7:08 first pitch. The broadcast starts at 6 o'clock. The audio brought to you by Jimmy John's. Jimmy John's slices their all-natural meats and fresh veggies in-house every day, and they bake their bread fresh right where you can see it every single day since 1983. That's Jimmy Fresh. Want to take some Cubs calls?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's go to the South Side. Larry's on the Spiegel and Parkins Show. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Listen, I think a lot of people are giving Strasburg a lot of credit. Listen, it was a horrible day to hit. And I think my point was about Russell. When Russell hit that ball and it got caught at the warning track, that ball would have been on the street.
And on almost any other day. Almost any other day, right, of the baseball calendar.
Right. So it's not. And then you got to remember that the Cubs are facing Strasburg and Scherzer. So it's not. So when you say they're not hitting the ball, I mean, it's a playoff. The wind is howling in. It's a hard day to hit. It's not that easy to score a lot of runs on those guys. So that's. I think they're going to do well tonight, and I think that Hendricks is going to come up big.
Listen, Larry, I appreciate the call. No one's saying it's easy to hit those guys or in those conditions.
Wasn't easy to hit the Mets in the 2015 NLCS.
Right, but also it's not hard to hit good pitching in the playoffs, period. But that was in response to people saying that a bigger story or blame should be on the manager, as if Joe Maddon could make them hit. And Taylor was able to hit a grand slam opposite field with the wind blowing in off of Wade Davis, who never gives up home runs. So, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't do it. So it's the type of thing where, like, I'm with you. The game is entirely different if Russell hits a home run. The game's entirely different if Russell doesn't follow that up and make an error on the Zimmerman play to allow it to be 1-0. Game stays a 0-0 tie if he fields that ground ball and doesn't rush it and throws it over to first. Like, it was a tough, tight, tense baseball playoff game that was, frankly, I thought, for the most part, managed pretty well, and the players just did not execute. Like, that was a day where Campy and I were talking about it. He's like, did you bet the under in that game? It's like, I actually didn't. I didn't get to my seat until basically right before first pitch, check the flags for the wind blowing in or whatever.
Because you were busy handing out masks.
Yeah, I was working.
You're busy.
Yeah. I was working. I was busy trolling Dusty Baker and getting the show Steven on Strasburg. Yahoo and having a Russert tweet about it and all sorts of weird things.
Yeah, pick a Russert. Any Russert.
I don't know which Russert talked about it, but yeah. Out there.
Yeah, Mike Oz from Yahoo wrote it up yesterday.
Yeah.
So
did you? Bleacher Report talked about it. It was you know.
So how'd that go? Tell me how that went, by the way. You leave here after transition. You hustle out the door. You're going over by Murphy's by the bleacher entrance to hand out, what, a couple hundred masks and stickers.
Well, yeah. So first thing is, for the first time in my adult life, I forgot my wallet at home yesterday. So I couldn't take the train. So I had to take an Uber to Wrigley.
Okay.
And if you've ever drove to Wrigley Field, massive pain in the ass. So that's taking way longer than it should, and I have to get out of the car like on basically like Grace and Irving Park and like jet myself over there on foot. But by the time I get there, I'm a little after 2 o'clock, and I walk up and I'm wearing one of the masks, the mold masks, and instantly people are like, Parkins, you got some of those? Hey, you're here. You know what I mean? They're seeing them, and people are laughing at it. Even if they didn't know who I was, it said Spiegel and Parkins on it. It was not exactly subtle, and I started handing them to people in Murphy's. There was an NBC camera crew that was there and interviewed me about it for a little bit. No idea if it made it on the news. CBS filmed it. I have no idea if that made it on the news.
Did Luke Stuckmeyer come up with the same idea during the same time frame between 9 and 1 yesterday for Comcast Sportsnet? Because there he was.
I have no idea. Stuckmeyer, he was on the field wearing a mask. I have no idea if he heard the show or came up with it independently.
Okay.
No idea.
But then there were a lot of masks out there that theoretically had very little to do with us or that idea.
Well,
they all seem to give credit back to you.
Well, no, I mean, I think that people, I mean, one guy came up and like people were coming up and showing me their masks because we were also saying like we can't provide the 5,000 masks.
That's right. You bring some.
Yeah, you bring some. You wear your hazmat suits, that sort of thing.
Did you see the dude with the pink sign? There was a pink sign dude.
Yep. Took a selfie with him. He came over to Murphy's. I gave away the 200 masks in honestly less than 20 minutes. Like people, they were just people wanted them. People thought it was hilarious. The kid, the one that went viral, that had the mold with the circle and the X out and the score logo, like. I didn't make that. That was just a guy who heard it and made a mask and made his kid wear it. And that was the picture that actually went viral. Like none of ours that said Spiegel and Parkins were the ones that got onto the broadcast.
Our friend Mary Dixon from the Lynn Bramer Morning Show over on XRT was wearing one.
Yep. Yesterday. I handed them to her. She was like, we haven't even met yet. I'm like, I think we have, but whatever. It doesn't matter.
She wants to sing on the Mitch album. Another example of wacky radio fun.
Yeah!
The kind of wacky radio fun that damages the gravitas and the actual authority of sports talk radio.
Super serious sports.
Here's the real issue: that tonight is going to be nerve-wracking.
Mm.
Tonight is going to be awful, and I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about Jay Zawoski as he gave voice the other day to what it was like for him watching Game 3.
It's terrible. I hate it.
See, Jay, I was at Game 3 and I was talking about it the other day, like, oh man, the emotional swings and the intensity and everything like that. But, you know, I'm able to like just lean in and enjoy that tension, especially when it comes to the Cubs or the Sox, frankly, because I didn't grow up a Cubs fan or a Sox fan. I grew up a Red Sox fan. So I'm able to like just kind of enjoy it. You seem to be an actual pain.
Yeah, I want to throw up the entire time. That's my feeling from first pitch to the final out is the constant need to vomit.
Could you set up like a Facebook Live just on you the entire game?
I stood the first four innings in my living room.
Are yesterday? You serious?
And I realized I have to pace myself and sit down here because...
I was going to say, you can stand that long consecutively?
His knees started to hurt.
He leaned for a while, Campy.
So nothing has changed in terms of your Cubs angst after the World Series? Or last year, would you have stood for the whole game?
It's a little different. It's a little bit less, I guess you would say, a little less stressful because last year felt like their best chance they'll ever have to win. And also the dread of, had they not won the World Series, having to go through another year of no matter how good the Cubs were, the entire narrative all year would be, they're just going to choke again. They're just going to choke again. And the dread of coming here every day after them choking a World Series away would have been brutal. It's not so bad this year, but still.
There's tension. There's nothing like the tension and suspense.
Every pitch is terrifying.
Oh, I mean, I do feel for you, but I love the tension.
So do I.
Because it's
and I think also it's delicious.
And it's the gluttony of it. It's like, man, they're good. We were here last year and we were here the year before and I expect us to be here next year. Like, I love getting used to and expecting the tension in October.
I think there's a lot of people who feel it like, Jay, I'm dating one. My girlfriend cried at the end of that game, of game three, because she's such a Cubs meatball. You know,
she's like a little bit of an overreaction.
Hey, man, I cried when Burley threw a perfect game, but that's a whole other story. But like just the emotional swings of it. And she went to the bleachers for the first time when she was six with her father and like the whole thing. But like people feel this stuff very, very deeply, like Jay.
There was a term coined in the hockey playoffs a couple years ago. Cry, barf, die. Hashtag cry, barf, die. And that's the feeling of a close game late in the NHL playoffs.
Though that tension
and is... I've been feeling that throughout the Cubs playoffs this year and last year. But man, this year especially, every Cubs inning they're on the field, it's 3-2 pitch with multiple foul balls. Every inning is just a death march. It takes an hour to get three outs every time. It's just brutal. And I know Arrieta pitched well, but a million pitches to accomplish what he did.
He walked 50 guys.
The game was 15 hours long. I just could not take another second of it.
Jay stood for the anthem and the game. That's a Patriots, my friend.
So should I be looking for a new co-host? Because you might just lose it tonight?
Yeah, I'll probably just have a heart attack.
Cry barf.
Make some baker's dozen for me.
And just punch the chest. If anything goes wrong, learn from Farley.
Just working the turkey wing through.
20 minutes until the Pro Football Focus grade of Mitch Trubisky. More Cubs heart attack next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hashtag mock the mold, or you could mocking the mold, whatever you guys want to do. Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus at 10. I'm told we have a, we didn't even tweet out and ask for voicemails last night. We should have, but I'm told we have a particularly profane voicemail. We can play that after Sam Munson.
Texters are feeling you, Jay Zawoski. Amen, Jay. Hawks and Cubs playoff games have taken years off my life.
Someone equating Cubs baseball playoff games to smoking tobacco. Just cigarettes, like in terms of which one actually hurts your health more. Which, okay, I mean, whatever.
I'm with Jay.
We all have our vices.
My wife thought the game was boring. I looked like a stockbroker on Black Thursday by the end. This guy feeling
God.
It.
My Hope said to me last night, you're crabby after that. I'm like, yeah, no kidding, I'm crabby after that. I just invested 9.5 hours of my life.
You know, I hope that people are, like, enjoying it because it's that kind of... It's the safe tension. You know what I mean? Like, in the end, you're going to be okay, no matter what happens.
Well, you mean it's not like when you have, like, bad turbulence on a flight Correct. And you might crash or something
right.
like that? It's not
exactly.
that type of tension?
You're not in the middle of a skid on an ice-covered highway, even though it does feel that way for an extended period of time.
Jay, had you lost that perspective? Like, did you ever think that maybe you were dying last night while watching the game?
No more than usual.
Okay, cool.
Texter, as a Cubs fan, I can tell you I feel the same way as Jay every game, yet I wish for this feeling to never leave in October. I will say I enjoy the off days because of the constant nausea.
Right, no, you look at the schedule and you're like, oh... What am I supposed to do tonight? There's no game. Yeah. And no football? That's weird.
And I love this. I was afraid the anxiousness might be gone after they won the series. I'm glad it isn't. I would miss it terribly. I love that.
Chad, you're on The Score. What's up, Chad?
Hi, Chad.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
It's going well. Thank you.
Good, guys. Hey, I got a question. Why didn't they bring in Lackey yesterday? Let Lester sit. Lackey's a fly ball pitcher. The wind howled at 15 miles an hour. You bring in Lackey and say, here you go. He pitches with his hair on fire. He'd be a spark for the whole team. I just don't understand it. I love Joe Maddon. I don't want to play second guess on him or anything.
Well, you are, but when would you have used him? When are you talking about? Instead of Edwards?
Instead of Lester.
Instead
said.
Of Lester.
Oh, use him before Lester. Let Lester sit, and Lester can come in today if you need him.
I mean... Well, in terms of sparking the team, he was, what, perfect through three innings? And then the arguably the loudest the crowd was for the Cubs was when pickoff. he got the pickoff.
How about the pickoff, by the way?
It was amazing. So, I mean, in terms of – like, I actually agree with Chad, your point basically that, you know, anybody I would have felt comfortable with putting up zeros in that spot yesterday.
It is quite a day to consider Lackey. I understand the thought because – I mean, what he falls prey to is the meatball home run, and that's a day when the wind is blowing in. And going into yesterday, I thought it was going to be Lackey. We talked about it for an extended period of time during the show yesterday, Lackey
right.
or Montgomery, depending on when it was. I had not thought he would go to Lester there.
Neither did I.
But I didn't have a problem with it because he still got Quintana in the back pocket for today. Lester was not going to be the Game 5 starter. I destroyed A.J. Hinch, or I went off on A.J. Hinch for using Verlander in relief in Game 4 in Boston. Because Verlander was going to be their Game 5 starter.
Right, it's different.
It's different. He's burning his Game 5 starter in a game that they, or early in a game that they didn't have in hand.
And I think it speaks to Joe's confidence in the number of pitchers that he can trust in big games, yeah. in big spots.
I will say that now...
Like, if they were down 3, he would have gone to Lackey. You know what I mean? You're not going to Lester down 3-0, 4-0.
Or Montgomery, yeah.
Right, because it's only one run. Or Montgomery,
there.
sure. You're not using one of your top flight pitchers if the game is more out of hand. But in a one-run situation, uh-huh. either up, down, or even, I think he has a very small number of pitchers that he trusts.
I have fears tonight about a quick Hendricks hook. Because he might have in his mind a plan of Hendricks, Quintana, Davis, you know? And
like Game 7?
Yes. When he had the plan of Hendricks, Lester, Chapman. And it led to a quick Hendricks hook, and it's been a talking point all year before the playoffs. We talked to Theo, who said Hendricks deserves to go long. Joe certainly showed that in game one.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Hope he shows it again tonight.
He went long in game one with, what, only two hits in seven innings? And with game seven, there literally is no tomorrow in terms of another game.
Yeah, but he had the plan and stuck to it to a fault. And right. A game five tonight is another one where you have a plan, and I hope he doesn't stick to it to a fault.
Yeah, but I guess I
just mean, fears.
But I mean, earlier in the series, he said that when he went to Strope, you know, he's like, if that situation came up, if that batter was there, he was going to go to Strope. They're like, he has plans before innings, before games, and all of that, and often he does like to stick to them instead mm-hmm. of changing on the fly. But I don't know that I would. I understand what you're saying because of last year. I don't know because of how it's going this year and the fact that, man, they would like, if assuming it's going well,
hey man,
they want Quintana to start game one of the NLCS.
You might not need Quintana at all. How about, you know what I mean?
Like, we have to open up that possibility that just because yesterday Lester came in because Arrieta was walking the world.
Let me ask you this. Let's say Hendricks gives you seven tonight and you have a lead. You have a two-run lead, something like that. Who gets the eighth? Wade Davis? Make him get six outs?
Yes. That's what I would do. I'd be more comfortable with that than Quintana for one and have a two-run lead. Give Wade Davis the shot at redemption in a save situation.
Uh-huh.
We've talked earlier in the year, I don't have him up today, but the numbers are different when he comes in tie games, non-save situations, and that sort of
thing. How many pitches did Davis throw yesterday? As soon as the grand slam happened, I was like, all right, get him out.
Me too. So the same thing.
But he went a few more than that.
Right. He got
two guys on base, right?
Right. I think it ended up being less than 20 pitches, but I don't have the exact total for
you. But so maybe
he's clearly available today,
for sure.
But is he available for two innings? I guess I don't know that for sure.
Yeah,
it'll be asked pregame, and my guess is Wade Davis will say, "Give me the ball whenever you want to give me the ball."
Wade Davis only threw 11 pitches. Okay. Managed to give up a grand slam and a couple of base runners in 11 pitches. That's good efficiency.
That's an adventurous game.
All right, yeah, so Davis for two innings, or if...
If you can get to the eighth, I'd go Davis for two.
Unless there's Harper and Murphy in the eighth, in which case you might see Montgomery.
Or Quintana.
Quintana.
I think Quintana. Ooh. I think in that spot you see Quintana.
Quintana for an inning with the lefties up there.
Right, because I think that's where you see Quintana.
This is fun. It's fun. It's terrifying. Yeah. It's intriguing. And either one could go home. Either one could play a great game and have had a great season and go home tomorrow.
How did Pro Football Focus grade Mitch Trubisky? And the Ravens have beat Cincy, Cleveland, and Oakland, but were blown out by the Steelers and Jaguars. Are the Ravens good? We'll get the Pro Football Focus answer next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.